from 5,000 feet in Fort Davis to 3 feet in Jamaica Bay, where liberty's threatened in Texas. Count on Pratt on Texas to sound the alarm. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a donor or management-controlled muzzle and leash. Our Lone Star story of the day: the press and other liberals just truly, I mean viscerally, hate Attorney General Ken Paxton. Their latest attempt to damage him before the election is beyond laughable. We've got that and quite a bit of other news. There's new governor polling out and just a lot in the campaign stack. We've got Texas business and economic news. And don't forget our Lone Star story of the day, the one about A.G. Paxton, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. If you need drug and alcohol testing in your business or institution, they're the people to go to. And truckers, any of you have to deal with the DOT, they are your best friend, and all your requirements you have to meet with the Department of Transportation. Listen to the show, Pratt on Texas, anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and other long-form interviews at prattontexas.com. And thanks to John Gibson, formerly of Fox News, for the time where we had you a special edition yesterday, an interview with John. And that was a lot of fun to do. We'll have him back to talk politics maybe in the future, my friends. And if you missed that show, well, it's yesterday's show. Just go take a listen there at prattontexas.com or any of the major podcast platforms, whether it's iHeartRadio, their big giant platform, or the Apple Podcast, or Google, or Amazon. It's there, Pratt on Texas, my friends, all over. All right. Oh, by the way, in fact, one of our podcast listeners emailed me today, said, hey, I'm opening an account with Vista Bank because this person lives not in Lubbock, but in Dallas, where they have some branches, and said, I'm going to open up an account because I advertise with your show. I wrote back and said, well, the not greatest thing about Vista Bank, besides the people that run it, is that they still operate like an old-fashioned community bank, and there are very, very few of those left. All right, my friends, let's get to some Texas economic and business news. The Dallas Fed has put out the results of its September survey for the manufacturing sector of the economy. Headline says it all: Texas manufacturing growth picks up, though demand continues to decline. Well, you can't continue to have growth if demand continues to decline. The activity picked up somewhat, but other measures of manufacturing activity showed mixed signals. New orders index went down. Fourth month in a row in negative territory, that's where you hear those recession echoes, suggesting continued decrease in demand. Growth rate of orders index remained negative. It moved up a little, but it's in the negative territory. Perception of broader business conditions worsened in September from those responding to the survey. Labor market measures continue to indicate robust employment growth and longer work weeks. Still, that's good. Prices and wages, though, continue to increase in an elevated pace. And expectations regarding future manufacturing activity, that was mixed, they were mixed. Future production index pushed in positive territory, but the business activity index was negative and actually dropped. Now, they also put out the service sector report, and it says that the service sector in Texas, which is a huge part of our economy, growth weakens further in September. That's right. So, in other words, growth has slowed, and now it's slowed even more in the service sector, and selling prices and wage pressures were moderating, but still it remained way above historical averages, and expectations of the future weren't really good. Retail sales is a subset of the service sector, and it says it all in the headline: Texas retail sales deteriorate in September. Retail labor market indicators reflected somewhat slower employment growth and shorter work weeks. Retailers' perceptions of broader business conditions worsened further in September. Wage pressures remained unchanged. Expectations for future retail growth were mixed. It's not a good bag there. There are some things, though, that have happened that are very positive. And a story I've had in the stack from G Captain since last week, I think Thursday, and couldn't get it to you. Port of Houston, a big winner from west to east cargo shift, and it's leaving these west coast ports. They've smashed the record at the Port of Houston for the highest number of containers handled in a single month, as a lot of imports are now shifting from west to Gulf Coast and East Coast ports. Their container volume was 382,842 TEUs, which is, I believe, 20-foot equivalent units is what that's called, the 20-foot containers. That's how they measure it. There are other size containers, but that's the standard, the TEU. Anyway, it's 20% more than the same month a year ago. And it talks about how Gulf and East Coast ports are picking up volume as importers are diverting cargo away from the U.S. West Coast, where the Democrat policies of, you know, making it illegal for the truckers to pick up the containers and anything but a brand new truck for the environment and all kinds of stuff. It just continues to be terrible. All right, let's get to some headlines. Texas A&M professor, NASA researcher pleaded guilty in China ties case. His name, Professor Tech Zhendong Cheng, is part of a program called the China Initiative, started in the Trump administration, where they started investigating this stuff. And, of course, the Biden administration stopped that. That's right. Justice Department abandoned the program after complaints it chilled academic collaboration and contributed to an anti-Asian bias. In other words, complaints that the Chinese Communist Party wasn't able to keep its spies as active or receive as much espionage from people in the U.S. And that's all you got to know about the Democrats and the Biden administration. Anyway, Cheng was charged with a lot of stuff, and he pleaded guilty to some little bit different charges later on, and they've given him the time served as his penalty, and he's got to pay restitution of $86,000 and $20,000. He was hired by A&M in 2004. He's concealed his work in China, even though his team of research received a lot of money for space research, which it's the law very specifically says you can't be tied to the foreign government to China on that. He violated the restrictions, and yet they're all saying, oh, but he's a great guy. He didn't mean anything. Oh, yeah. By maintaining multiple undisclosed associations with China, including serving as a director of a soft matter, it says, institute at a technology university in Guangdong, China, established by China's Ministry of Education, which means the Communist Party of China. Oh, but he was fired from A&M, but he loves academia, and he's a proud and loyal U.S. citizen and wants to get back to things. Okay, well, yeah, pleaded guilty. Three fires ignited in Haskell overnight. KRBC tells us two were on school grounds and one at a Haskell Church of Christ building. And so somebody, sounds like somebody went around lighting fires. And how about this one? Woman dumpster diving ends up in Odessa trash truck. KOSA tells us that a 47-year-old woman got some head and lower back injuries. No kidding. She is dumpster diving at 6 in the morning. And she'd been there a long time because she said, told police, but 25 minutes later, garbage truck came. So she's been there a long time, picked up the dumpster, and she ended up in the back of the garbage truck for 2 hours. Ouch. Houston couple find fully automatic M16s in storage cases bought online. This is an interesting story from KTRK and CNN. They bought these military surplus cases. They got them. They had machine guns in them. And you read all this, and, oh, it's a fear of guns. Oh, my God, I can't believe this stuff happens. All I can tell you is, who left them in there? But the government, military. See, all these people, they want a trusting government for everything. I don't know why. Government's got a worse record than anything else or any other organization on these kind of things. All right, my friends, the lefties tried at a called meeting of the State Board of Education to add some lefty stuff to the social studies curriculum in the state yesterday. They failed. I'll give you a little bit of an update on that. We've got a ton of campaign news upcoming on Pratton, Texas.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
Farming has never been for the faint of heart, but you already know that. The faith and fortitude that brought you to the table will ensure you're here tomorrow. At Vista Bank, we can say that because we've served producers just like you for 109 years. Through the Dust Bowl, the Great Depression, two world wars, and the global pandemic. One of the region's few FSA preferred lenders, maybe it's time you make your move. Vista Bank, where people always come first.
It gets blistering hot and shivering cold on the high ground of Texas. We know how important is reliable heating and air conditioning, and so does the family at Hart Heating and AC. It's dry and dusty, too, and Hart Heating and AC are experts at improving your comfort with whole home humidity control, UV light filtration, and other services that make your home healthier and happier. Stop the suffering and take it to Hart. Hart Heating and AC. Get healthier and happier. Hart. H-A-R-T heatingandac.com.
License DACLA 1229 OE.
If it moves in your warehouse or business with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving. Texas Battery is your source for the right battery for material handling equipment, from forklifts and scissor lifts to newer autonomous warehouse machines. If it moves with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving with the correct batteries. Rely on Texas Battery to keep your supply chain moving. Texas starts with TexasBattery.com. TexasBattery.com. That's TexasBattery.com.
Joining the late William F. Buckley, standing athwart history and yelling, "Stop!" It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. The Epoch Times, along with tons of other people covering this. Darlene McCormick Sanchez did a good job, though, with the Epoch Times. Attempt to add climate change and oppression into Texas social studies fails. It was interesting. They had this cold meeting. They already put off till 2025. The redo of the social studies, but for some reason the chairman had this called meeting yesterday. Well, it was a special meeting, and apparently it was to change the standards, to tweak the standards to meet Senate Bill 3 requirements, which prohibits teaching critical race theory, which is, you know, communist Marxist, labels people as oppressors or victims depending on their skin color or sexual identity. Now, the Texas Anti-Defamation League. Her spell checker got her. It's Defamation League. And Texas Freedom Network, organizations aligned with the ideology of progressive left, chastised the board in a letter last Friday for delaying a, quote, progressive, end quote, overhaul of the state social studies standards. Other groups backing the letter included the American Civil Liberties Union, the Children's Defense Fund, Equality Texas, Every Texas, Intercultural Development Research Association, and, of course, the Texas State Teachers Association, the far left-wing state union of the NEA. So, interesting. They went in there just to tweak it for SB 3. Well, Democrat Georgina Peters used the special meeting to try to move to get amendments to add Democrat Jose Tomas Canales into the 7th grade Texas history requirement, saying, well, what's the problem? It'd do no harm. What he was in the early 1900s, he's one of these guys, that lawyer that popularized the idea that the Texas Rangers were nothing but a big racial enforcement deal that propagated racial violence against Mexican Americans. And there is some historical truth to that, but it wasn't, tends to be incident-based, not institutionalized. I mean, my gosh, the mid-20th century, Lone Wolf Gonzalez was one of the top Texas Rangers and had a national platform through that. Anyway, let's see. Her effort appeared to revive an effort to portray the Texas Rangers as oppressors, as had been written into the proposed social studies standards before the board voted to halt the revision process. Patters also proposed adding climate change as a subject within world geography, which that's not geography or science. I mean, history, but that doesn't matter. They put their stuff in anywhere. Democrat board member Asha Davis offered an amendment for first graders to learn about Dolores Huerta, co-founder of the National Farm Workers Association union. The board voted along party lines and rejected them. Julie Pickren, a conservative candidate for SBOE, told the Epoch Times special meeting announcement last Thursday gave parents little time to react. She came to the meeting fearing it might rekindle social studies debate. And she's right, because the Dems tried to use it for that. She said, why did Chairman Errolis call a special meeting? Adding the board was granted an extension on complying with SB 3, so it wasn't needed. Now, they shelved, due to your pressure, standards revision until 2025, which was great because it was all full of this stuff, and globalism and homosexual activism and critical race theory. And Pickren said 7,000. I've told you back when this happened, and that the victory was because of you. 7,000 concerned parents emailed board members, and 4,000 signed a petition urging them to leave the standards alone. been. So, you know, it does pay off when you get busy on it. Hey, today in Texas history, Mexican military commander of Texas, Domingo de Ugartechea, dispatched Castaneda and 100 dragoons to retrieve what? That's right, the cannon at Gonzales. This led to the Battle of Gonzales on October 2nd. Took a while. They were told, you know, come and take it, go away. They sat around, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Had the Battle of Gonzales October 2nd, considered the opening battle of the Texas Revolution. And one of the great experiences I've had doing a radio program was this spring, where I was able to, we did the entire program sitting within a few feet of that actual cannon at the museum in Gonzales. And if you haven't heard that, we've replayed it, I think, on a holiday or two, and it's in my best of stack. It's also there in the website, in the podcast page. You can go back and listen to that. That was so great. Enjoyed it so much. It's also the day in 1993 that Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison was indicted on charges she misused state facilities and employees as state treasurer. This was this same old stuff that's been going on forever from the Democrats, using indictments to try to destroy Republicans like they did Rick Perry and others. And of course, the charges were dropped. There wasn't anything to it. And this is the day that Babe Zaharias died in Galveston, 1956, September 27th. If you don't know who Babe was, Isabel and I were in a store the other day, and there was a picture of this golfer, this woman, and I said, that's Babe. And sure enough, it was. Born in Port Arthur, played semi-pro basketball with the Golden Cyclones while employed by the Employers Casualty Company of Dallas. She's all-around track and field star in the 1932 Amateur Championships, broke four world records in the 32 Olympics. Babe set three world records, then turned to golf in 33, won the Texas Women's Amateur Golf Championship before being ruled ineligible as an amateur. In 1948, she helped found the Ladies Professional Golf Association, the LPGA. She was their leading money winner from 49 to 51, and she had cancer in the early 50s. After surgery, she still went on to win five more tournaments and played for cancer benefit tournaments. She established the Babe Zaharias Trophy to honor outstanding women athletes. Sadly, cancer got her when she was only 45. She's buried in Beaumont. This is the day she died, 1956. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations, providing surveillance, security, witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, and much more, including employee background checks. Protect yourself that way. Some of these jury awards have been shocking. They tell companies liable for people they hired for not checking out their past. Learn about the team. Investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. All right, my friends. Which way to go on this? I don't know. Okay, real quickly, since I was talking about the State Board of Education, the rest of the show is going to be all this political news, campaign news. There was a good follow-up piece from that big Texas Education Conference that the Association of TASA and TASB put on for, you know, to go indoctrinate school administrators and board members. But a follow-up in the scorecard from Cindy Henry, Texas Education Conference pushes trans boys into girls' restrooms. And it's some of the members that pointed out. Fort Bend ISD trustee David Hamilton highlighted one workshop titled Transgender Students in Texas, What You Need to Know. He put that out on Twitter. He said ACLU's trying to force Texas public schools to allow boys and girls locker rooms, showers, restrooms, and athletics. They had a biological girl who, quote, IDs as a boy speak because that appeals better, right, than the typical guy pretending to be a girl, which is far more common. At a Fort Bend ISD school board meeting earlier this month, Hamilton spoke out against the practice of affirming the, quote, gender confused, end quote, at the cost of another student's privacy. We have a responsibility to try to make sure that accommodating student A does not infringe on the rights of student B. Well, Trustee Hamilton, that's not how the left ever sees it, as you probably know. He continued saying, I'm very much in favor of protecting our girls in restroom, showers, locker rooms, and sports teams and making sure the desire to accommodate certain students does not infringe on the rights of our female students in those capacities. Brian Klobuchar-Brewer or something, staff attorney for the ACLU of Texas, and Adri Perez, policy and advocacy strategist for the ACLU, led the workshop. And these are people who, like Perez, identifies as quote, unapologetically queer, comma, trans, end quote, and has they, them as the pronouns. I mean, the left is everywhere. But then you got this Mark Cantu, a deputy superintendent for Seguin ISD. He bought all that stuff hook, line, and sinker, putting out on Twitter. What a great, great thing it is that what these people want us to do. Folks, you're losing it all, and you better pay attention to these local school boards.
Keep that six-shooter at your side. Front on Texas will be right back after this.
It's hard to explain why my greatest customer service experience wasn't at a luxury resort or private club, but was going to the dentist in Costa Rica, Dr. Silvio Zuniga of Dental Care. There are big Costa Rica practices which, while saving you big money, work just like they do here, herding patients through as fast as possible to increase billings. That's not how Dr. Silvia Zuniga works. Silvia's practice is purposely small and personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. My entire trip cost us less than half my lowest quote at home, including hotel for a week, restaurants, airfare for both of us, and local transport, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years, and now you can visit Texas Tech's new Costa Rica campus nearby. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Now, a man who understands that elected officials work for us. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, AlliedCompliance.com, has to do with just the visceral hatred that the press and all the other liberals and Democrats have for Attorney General Ken Paxton. And for those of you who are kind of new to all this, that hatred has been at an equal level since he was a state senator out of Plano, and then ran and won the Republican primary in a runoff for attorney general. It's not new, and it's because he's been an unabashed advocate of conservatism. The newest way to scare up something prior to the election to try to sink him is simply laughably absurd. But almost all the state press have stories out on it today, midday and mid-morning, all coming off of a report from the Texas Tribune yesterday, which they've updated today with more information, by Eleanor Klibanoff. And it's quite interesting. I'm going to read you part of it, and I want you to think, those of you who need some work on your critical thinking skills. Here's the headline. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton fled his home to avoid being served with subpoena, comma, court record says. Oh, a court record. Oh, well, just wait. First of all, nothing illegal about that. That used to be what everybody used to do, get out of being served, although now they've changed the law where a true and bona fide attempt doesn't get you out of it. But anyway, here's the story. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton fled his home in a truck driven by his wife, State Senator Angela Paxton, to avoid being served a subpoena Monday, according to an affidavit filed in federal court. Now, notice the headline said court records say. Now think about your critical thinking. According to an affidavit filed in federal court, Ernesto Martin Herrera, a process server, was attempting to serve the state's top attorney with a subpoena for a federal court hearing Tuesday in a lawsuit from nonprofits that want to help Texans pay for abortions out of state. Later on Monday, Paxton filed a motion to seal the affidavit, arguing that the server, quote, loitered at the attorney general's home for over an hour, repeatedly shouted at him and accosted, end quote, Paxton and his wife. U.S. District Judge Robert Pittman granted the motion early Tuesday, today, hours after the affidavit had been published. I guess that was today. Maybe this was. Anyway, when Herrera arrived at Paxton's home in McKinney on Monday morning, he told a woman who identified herself as Angela that he was trying to deliver legal documents to the attorney general. She told him Paxton was on the phone, unable to come to the door. He said he could wait. Nearly an hour later, a black Chevy Tahoe pulled into the driveway, and 20 minutes after that, Paxton exited the house. I walked up the driveway approaching Mr. Paxton and called him by his name. As soon as he saw me and heard me call out his name, he turned around and ran back inside the house through the same door in the garage Herrera wrote in the sworn affidavit. Angela Paxton then exited the house, got inside a Chevy truck in the driveway, started it, opened the doors. A few minutes later, I saw Mr. Paxton run, it says ran here, but I think it'd be run, from the door inside the garage towards the rear door behind the driver's side, Herrera wrote. I approached the truck and loudly called him by his name and stated I had court documents for him. Mr. Paxton ignored me and kept heading for the truck. Now, there's no problem with ignoring a process server. It's not illegal. It's not unethical. And in fact, in this case, it's unethical for them to be serving the attorney general for a matter of the state. It's a state issue as attorney general in his official capacity. You don't serve that at his home. These folks are the unethical people. However, notice the headline. Attorney General Paxton fled his home to avoid being served with subpoena. See, to most ignorant people, that sounds like he did something wrong. And then they add to it, court records say nothing to the effect. A court has not ruled on this. It's simply a person's assertion. It was in an affidavit, as if people don't lie in court all the time and Democrats don't lie and aren't, you know, they're willing to lie. I know they're willing to lie. Had a couple of Democrat political operatives lie about me and go swear out an assault complaint against me one time, which because two people signed it had to be investigated. Let me tell you, it was investigated. They didn't know the other witness there was a deputy sheriff who was out of uniform. They lied. They lie. They'll lie in an affidavit. It's politics. They don't care. The ends justify the means. But notice how this is this slimy reporting at the Texas Tribune. Court records say, court records don't say, an assertion by a private citizen, process server, he's no official of anything. He says this, but it's all written in that story as if this were factual or as if an authority of unimpeached credibility reported this as happening, like we watched it on video. Anyway, Herrera left the subpoenas on the ground or the truck. On Twitter, the AG, and by the way, the AG's absolutely right on this stuff, but doesn't this just show how laughably crazy these people will go? The problem is too many people think, they just read the headline, he fled his house. So there's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, that's actually usual behavior. But in this case, they're the ones doing wrong. No mention of that in their reporting on this or the other stories I've seen. That why are you serving the state's attorney general at his private home so that the address becomes public record? I mean, we do shield the top law enforcement and local law enforcement and other people from having to share these addresses for their personal security. I think some of that shielding goes too far, but that is the law. These people were doing it dirty. So on Twitter, A.G. Paxton said his departure, he did leave quick. He didn't say it didn't happen. I'm just pointing out the reporting is a lie because it makes it appear that it's a matter of record when in reality it's not. It's just somebody's claim. He said it's about family safety. Quote, it's clear the media wants to drum up another controversy involving my work as A.G., so they're attacking me for having the audacity to avoid a stranger lingering outside my home and showing concern about the safety and well-being of my family. In the 7-page motion to seal, Paxton's lawyers argued their client was never told the name of the process server or given identifying information about him. They further argued it was, quote, at best reckless and irresponsible to publicly release the attorney general's home address, writing in the motion that the details serve no legitimate litigation purpose and that it is wholly irrelevant to the substantive issues before the court. And that would be right. Plus, he ought to be served through his official office in Austin as he's representative of the state. This isn't a personal, it's not a personal lawsuit. And Paxton put out more today saying, in light of the constant threats against me for which dangerous individuals are currently incarcerated. And by the way, folks, that stuff's true. I've had legitimate threats against me. I take this security very seriously. Somebody's lingering around outside my house. I'm going to be heavily armed. I'm not going to the door. I'm going to call the authorities. This stuff is real. He said, I take a number of common sense precautions for me and my family's safety when I'm at home. Texans do the same to protect themselves from threats, and many also exercise their Second Amendment rights to protect themselves and their families. I think he pointed out to somebody today, if I remember reading it, that he said something about lucky he wasn't armed or something. I don't know, but nevertheless. They then use this story to tell you all these negative things that they've concocted against Paxton. Well, folks, this is just I don't, yellow journalism's not really the right word. It's just bull. And it's awful reporting. It seeks to mislead the reader. And it's how it works. And again, no mention in the stories I reviewed today as to, well, why are they serving this guy at home instead of through the official channels of the Attorney General for a lawsuit against the state? You know, why did they put in that public, what would become a public record, his home address? Because it has nothing to do with the litigation. And by the way, the judge agreed and sealed this stuff this morning. This is how they're playing the game, folks. It's quasi on the verge of a violent revolution. Out people, it's like LULAC putting out the bounty on somebody they claim misled these illegal aliens in San Antonio so that they agreed to go to Martha's Vineyard, a $5,000 bounty. This is how it works now. And it's mostly all come from the left. They were the originators, and they continue to do it, you know, on steroids. Now, the Attorney General, what's his opponent all about? Well, we know, and I'll tell you about that in a moment, and you'll understand why the press wants her to get elected and wants him to be unelected. Back in a moment.
Pratt's back in a moment. After we hear from those who pay the bills.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT. Or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com, H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
He's built companies in Texas since the Reagan reelect, paid personal and business taxes, dealt with regulation at every turn, and all the while been hip deep in Texas politics. A host who has done much more than sit and talk. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. So they came up with a laughable attack on the Attorney General today and yesterday. It is quite amazing. Well, what's his opponent about? Good headline in the Texan.news by Hayden Sparks. Garza, that's the Rochelle Garza, is the Democrat nominee, pledges support for abortion rights, criticizes Paxton's actions on border security. And that's all you need to know. By the way, she is a far, far leftist. I mean, a far leftist activist. Revolutionary leftist activist in the political sense. And she's criticized the heck out of him for dealing with the crisis in the border, basically saying it's not. For example, once when we went to the Rio Grande Valley, she said, he spewed his usual fear-mongering about a crisis on the border, which if you call it fear-mongering, it pretty much you're denying it's real. And then she said, the real crisis, meaning the border's not a crisis. The real crisis is the lack of health care and price gouging by energy companies. And Paxton's rightly called her the most radical, Garza, Rochelle Garza, the most radical politician ever nominated by a major party in Texas. I think that's probably close to true. Paxton, of course, has sued the Biden administration over 9 times over illegal immigration-related issues. She thinks that stuff's not real and doesn't matter, and she says, oh, well, we ought to have some border security for our border communities, but, you know, come on. But she admitted that she would just go along with the Biden administration on all this stuff. What did she actually say? It's a strain on these border communities. Acknowledging the surges of illegal immigration have burdened jurisdictions along the border to provide food and medical care, but her website calls Operation Lone Star unconstitutional, and she's previously minimized illegal immigration rhetoric. She's also a big abortion advocate. She said that she knew Roe v. Wade would be overturned and described the attorney general's position as the queen on the chessboard due to its constitutional authority. I want to use it to protect choice in the state of Texas. Well, I don't know what she means about the attorney general's position, but the quote is, I want to use it to protect, well, she calls choice, she means abortion in the state. And they had, there was a new bunch of the polling out WFAA released yesterday or Sunday during their show and said that 47 Paxton, 42 Gonzalez. That pretty well lines up with the other ones we're seeing. Paxton's been busy out there. He's also fighting a really important bill called the Federal Energy Regulatory. It's for the FERC, Federal Regulatory Energy Commission. It's a big bill that Schumer and all these guys are doing called the Energy Independence and Security Act in Congress. It's awful. Folks, it lets the feds just take over and private companies, gives them massive rights to use eminent domain without hardly any protections at all, superseding any state law and everything else, if it's something the Greens want done, the greeny weenies want done. That's not a joke. That's what this is in. And McConnell and Schumer and he's AG Paxton's fighting for us on that issue. A lot of other things. Now, before we totally run out of time, I want to get to these. They're just a lot of stuff and I can't get to it all every day. But I want to get to these new polls that are out. I think UT Tyler, Dallas Morning News, released another one yesterday, another set, which pretty well agreed with their last set. There wasn't anything unique in that. There is a new big poll out today from Emerson College Polling in The Hill in Washington, D.C. It's, you know, partnership. Emerson College Polling, The Hill, shows Abbott with an 8-point lead, which is where we're going to see this head, 50-42. And Spencer Kimball, executive director of the Emerson College Polling, said Texas white voters prefer Abbott over O'Rourke 60-35%. Remember, O'Rourke is white, too. Hispanics are generally mostly all white. They're Caucasians. I mean, he pretends to be a minority, but he's a white, rich kid, Irish family. Texas white voters prefer Abbott over O'Rourke 60-35%. Hispanic voters plan to vote for the governor 46-42%. So he's leading there, and black voters are the only cohort there that by ethnicity that prefer O'Rourke over Abbott, 78-12%. Majority of Texas voters, 55%, and this is what I told. Go back and find it. I told you all this stuff way back when he announced for governor that he had a serious problem. And wasn't it a week ago when new polls were coming out and I was digging in them and telling you this? This has been the problem from the beginning, and yet the Democrat Party lives in such a fantasy land that they couldn't figure this out and they don't want to hear it when they were selecting their nominee. A majority of Texas voters, 55%, have a favorable view of Greg Abbott, while 43% have a negative view of the governor. 44% have a favorable view of Beto O'Rourke. 52% have a negative view of him. So you're running just below a majority to over a majority in every poll you see with a firm negative on this guy, and that was true after his presidential run. It's just shocking to me, the alternative universe. And by the way, that's why, I mean, they're just an inability to, he's proven to be a formidable candidate. Don't get me wrong, he raises money, gets out in campaigns. But overall, why have we had these 27.30% wins over Democrats the last couple of decades? It's because they live in an alternate universe and they just cannot seem, or they seem very unwilling to put up electable candidates. And of course, part of the problem is their party is so radical Marxist leftist now that they're, unless somebody's just going to lie, like this Collier guy that goes on about, oh, I used to be a Republican, but he switched in Obama years. He liked Obama better. Unless they're just willing to outright lie and say anything to any group, which most of them are. But you can't hide it when you've been on the payroll of all these Marxist organizations in the country. They're unwilling to put up anybody who could even mount a good case to be elected in this state. In this new poll, Emerson College poll, the economy's top issue, 40% of voters, followed by abortion, 16%, immigration, 12%, and healthcare, 8%. Interesting poll. Their numbers on some things differ a lot, but they don't from other polls, but they don't particularly on the governor race. I guess they'll release other stuff from the poll tomorrow. This was released today. So there you go. Again, that Dallas Morning News poll, Monday, UT Tyler poll showed Abbott 47, O'Rourke 38. That they're all pretty much in line with each other. There was an interesting piece today. Beto is just so bad. Abbott primary opponents, critics, back incumbent they'd hoped to unseat, Brad Johnson and the Texan. That doesn't surprise me. It's exactly right. It's like Jonathan Stickland said O'Rourke is terrible and it's scary. He said, and the other ones are just as scary. Mike Collier, Rochelle Garza. They're actively pushing the exact same progressivist leftist positions as Beto. These are raging leftists and there's no difference. Huffines had some good things to say. He says, I don't know about endorsing Abbott. I mean, I'm endorsing him. He's never asked for it, never calls me about anything. That I believe that because that Abbott group's about the most closed-door, arrogant bunch since they ever got in the governor's mansion behind the scenes. But he pointed out, he said, whether I like Abbott or not, Huffine said, this hadn't stopped me from telling the truth about how Beto O'Rourke and all the other statewide Democrats are socialists, committed to destroying Texas values and culture. They must be defeated. We must elect Republicans at every level of government to get our beloved platform into law. This is our year and we'll make it count. Chad Prather says pretty much the same thing. Now, there's a story I'm going to save for later in the week about my friend Wayne Christian. Remember the chick that claims she's a Republican, but it doesn't show much background for it, that ran, got a bunch of vote in the primary, posed all but naked on a pump jack. Sarah Stogner, she still claims to be a Republican. Well, she's out endorsing the Democrat for Railroad Commission. And there's a pretty good article on that I want out of the Midland Odessa media. I'll cover later in the week. It's kind of funny. It shows who these people are. And we were right when we told you in the primary. Thanks for joining us. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.